Hi, this is Andrew.
And this is Amy, and you're listening to the AADL Productions podcast.
In this episode, we talk about soprano Jesse Norman with local musicologist Richard Lesser. As an opera expert and friend of Jesse's since her time at the University of Michigan almost 50 years ago, Richard gives us insight into who Jesse is and what it is that has made her the international star she's become.
Jesse and I met in the School of Music in the summer of 67, got to know each other over dinner at a mutual friend's house then. We did a lot of talking, and then in November of that year, I went into the Army, went overseas, and Jesse went on to go to Europe, winning the voice competition at Munich. But we kept in touch. And so her first major appearance in the U.S. on the East Coast was at Tanglewood with the Boston Symphony. So I simply drove to Tanglewood that weekend and saw my friend make her East Coast debut, which was very exciting to have somebody that young at such an important festival. And it was interesting because this elderly couple in front of me, after Jesse finished singing, the wife turned to the husband and said, "She's as good as Kirsten Flockstadt was." And I'm thinking, that's my little girl.
So what were some of the other early performances that she did, the important performances?
I was at her New York recital debut the following January. I went to a ton of Midwest recitals. I would just drive down to Athens, Ohio, or Grand Rapids, or Principia College in Illinois. She did not do any opera in the U.S. until 1980. So, basically it was going to recitals wherever and, up to Montreal. Her first important opera appearance in the U.S. was Philadelphia Opera, where she did Dido and Aeneas and Oedipus Rex of Stravinsky. Dido is by Purcell. And she did the leading female part in both operas in one night. The biggest night, operatically speaking, that I was at was her Metropolitan Opera debut, which took place in September of 83. It was in Les Troyens of Berlioz, the five-hour monster opera, as we used to think of it. Jesse sang Cassandra that night and had a great success. Weeks later, she switched and did the other soprano part in the opera, Dido. And the way the opera is written, those two singers are never on stage at the same time. So in February, when they revived the production for the radio and did it, when Tatiana Trianos became ill, Jesse sang both roles at the same time.
Has that ever been done before?
It had been done, but not in an absolutely complete performance of the opera. Shirley Verrett, who's on the faculty here, actually did it opening night of the first time the Met ever did Les Troyens in 1974. And she did it because Christa Ludwig got sick at the last second. And so they asked her. She had done Dido in a concert performance, but in Rome, but had never sung it on stage, but she agreed to do it. And she also had a great success. So two sopranos that I know personally and know well have both done both parts on the same night. Jesse Norman's performance with the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra under James Levine. That was the first concert that the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra ever played outside of New York. So that was quite an honor for Ann Arbor. It was also an interesting night because we found out just how big Jesse's voice is. Between two movements of the opening work on the concert, somebody had to go backstage and ask her to stop warming up so loudly. We could actually hear her in the auditorium warming up. And I have never in my life heard somebody warming up when they've had the dressing room doors closed.
Did you start consulting while you were still a student for other students that you worked with?
Yeah, but I never thought of it as consulting. They're just friends who asked me questions.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was certainly no money. In fact, for years, I never charged Jessie. She was a friend. You don't charge friends for helping them. And she and Ellie Ameling both insisted that I bill them for my services. It took me a long time to feel comfortable charging friends. I just like helping people. Jessie would email me when she needed advice, information, recordings. My becoming a consultant to a lot of other people is really because of Jessie. She passed my name along to her friends in the business. And, well, if you need some help with this, you know, Richard will be glad to help. And Dalton Baldwin, who was one of her primary accompanists on her recitals in the early years, and I became good friends. I mean, he would see me 10, 15 times a year, and obviously, you know. And Dalton accompanied some of the other great song recitalists like Ellie Ameling, Gerard Suzet, Rosemary Landry. And so I got to know those people because I would go to hear his concerts then, even when Jessie wasn't singing. And so they would pass my name along then to people that they knew who needed help. And that's how Le Sœur became the consultant he became.
I thought it was interesting that Jessie spent so long establishing herself in opera in Europe before ever performing opera in the United States. Why did she do that?
She started her career in Europe because that's where you can start a career. At that time especially, it was very hard to get started in the U.S. There are actually more opera companies out there now in the U.S. than there were back then. And she won the Munich competition, and so she got a contract to sing with them, and then Berlin asked her to sing there. But after about 4 years of singing opera, she stopped singing opera completely anywhere. She made recordings of operas, but she wanted to let the voice totally settle. She wanted to know exactly where she was going vocally. And with recitals, you can plan the repertoire so that you can use the voice to its best extent at that time. You don't have to decide 3 years in advance that, you know, I'm going to be ready to sing such and such a part. That's a major problem for opera singers, that they literally have to plan 3 and 4 years in advance.
Can you elaborate on what it means for a voice to settle? What does that mean precisely?
Unlike an instrumentalist who usually starts learning to play at the age of 5 or 6, singers really can't begin to develop until they reach a little past puberty, at least, simply because the muscles can't take the pressure. And so singers are really about 10 years behind instrumentalists in terms of their development. And as our bodies change, it affects the way you sing. And therefore, as a singer matures, the voice moves in different directions, and sopranos especially. Top notes either open up or they don't. And that until you know what's going to happen, you really can't make a lot of career decisions.
When you were in school with Jessie, did everyone know that she would become Jessie Norman?
We all knew that she had the potential. I mean, in the world of music, so much depends on being in the right place at the right time, knowing the right piece at the right time. But the potential was so obvious to everyone. Friends of mine, Ken and Gwen Scheffel, we promised Jessie that first summer that we would be at her Met debut. And we were. So, yeah, I mean, it was obvious that she had everything it would take. It was just the matter of everything falling into place at that point.
And what is that? What is that everything? What makes Jessie Jessie? Performance-wise, I mean.
The voice had a warmth and a direct communication to an audience. Everyone in the audience felt she was singing directly to them. And only the greatest performers have this ability. Total commitment. She is probably one of the two or three best prepared performers I know. I mean, she has looked into everything. What Jessie does, unlike, you know, students who learn from listening, Jessie memorizes and gets the piece down. Then she listens to live performances to see if there are traditions that she needs to know about that a conductor is going to say, oh, but this is always done this way.
That's interesting. It almost sounds like she's got a real self-taught aspect.
Jessie learns her music on her own. She's a pretty good pianist. Then she goes to a coach and works on it. But she pretty much learns the music by herself, which is why her interpretations are often very different from the norm.
Because she's worked them out
before learning about the norm. Yeah, I learned it this way because that's the way I read the music.
Does she make choices about that this has always been a tradition, but I'm just going to throw it out because I don't like it? It doesn't work for me?
Yep. When she sang Parsifal, she had me find a copy of the original medieval German. That's why we had borders, the original borders. You could walk in and find that sitting on the shelf, and I mailed it off to her. She called two stores in New York, and nobody could find it. So, of course, she also has spent a lot of time doing operas nobody else does. I mean, there's not a great performing tradition on Les Troyennes, not a great performing tradition of Gluck's Alceste. And then you get operas like Erwartung of Schoenberg and Poulenc's Wow Men. Well, she can do whatever she wants because those are both one-woman shows. Two of the most depressing works ever written, but... And she does them as a double bill.
Du siehst wieder dorthin.
Non-musically speaking, Jessie has the knack, like Ken Fisher. She remembers everyone she's met. She remembers names, faces. She remembers what their children are doing. So the networking, which creates goodwill to make a career. She was simply the total package.
Has she changed over the years?
Yes, I suppose. As we all have, obviously. Jessie is very, very committed to keeping her private life private. I think she's seen so many performers who have not, and it's created difficulties in their lives. And well, as we see with film stars, you know, everyone knows everything you're doing. Jessie treasures her privacy, and I think that's helped her keep her balance through most of the career. She's been very intelligent on what she has sung, not singing things that are inappropriate for her voice. And, you know, she's done it her way.
What about the new CD that she has?
It's an interesting CD. You cannot listen to it in terms of Jessie Norman, the great singer of the past. She has simply gone over and said, okay, that part of my career is pretty much done. I'm going to go out and have fun making music, just doing what feels right to me at the time. And if you're willing to accept that premise, it's a great album. The average opera goer, I feel, is not willing to let her do this.
My baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for cars and races. My baby don't care for hard-tone places.
Jessie has reached that stage in her life, and I know what that stage is because I'm 3 months older than her, as she often jokes. Jessie can do what she wants, the way she wants, and if people don't like it, that's all right. She's happy. I think it's the album which displays her enjoying making music more than anything in years. She really seems to enjoy herself doing it. I'd love to hear session tapes from it. I doubt if I'll find that.
This is Saturday day. Heard the crowd on the floor. Couldn't face it without you. Don't get around much anymore.
Is part of the issue that people want something that maybe isn't terribly possible anymore? Is it possible for her to maintain the sort of intensity that she had in her younger years, in her voice, in her performance?
There's still an intensity, but it's much more relaxed intensity. And I'm not sure how to explain it. There's still the total commitment to what she's doing and the intensity. I want to get this across to people. But she's comfortable with what she is doing, totally. No singer can keep the voice forever. With different singers, the difficulties manifest themselves earlier and later, and it's more difficult for women than men. But the voice itself tells you when you need to seek other outlets. And I think Jessie's come to terms with that and is very happy. And, you know, she could go another 20 years doing this sort of thing. And just having a blast doing it. And I say more power to you. If you find something that makes you happy, do it.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, rambler, backbiter. Tell him
God Almighty's gonna cut him down. Stop!
Could you talk about the balance in opera between being a great singer and being a great singing actor?
Yeah, that's difficult. The great singing actors, up until recently, were usually people who had very little voice. And we won't go into names, but a certain Greek-American soprano comes to mind. There have always been great actresses in opera, but most of them were not great singers. It's different now because of television and the HD broadcast from the Met. People are now expecting singers to become the part. I am not sure that some of the great singers of the past could have made a career today. Luisa Tetrazzini supposedly tipped the scale at 300 pounds and regularly sang Violetta, Who's Dying of Consumption. This is a little hard to believe. But if you sing with enough intensity, and if you're a good actor in creating a character, you can overcome that, especially in the opera house itself, because it's a huge stage. You don't have the close-ups. Yeah. So there's more to diffuse the non-acting. But in this day and age, most directors, especially at medium and small-size opera houses, want the whole package. At the Metropolitan Opera, you can still get away with maybe having a bit of a weight problem or something like that. We will never again see the stand and sing method on stage, I don't think. It will not happen. Stage directors won't allow it, and audiences won't.
Where does Jesse fall on that spectrum?
Now, Jesse is a good-sized girl, was during her career. She has lost a tremendous amount of weight and looks stunning right now. But Jesse was so intense, people never noticed. But she never did roles where she was dying of consumption. She, for the most part, played heroines who were bigger than life, both Dido and Cassandra in Les Troyennes, Alceste, great tragic figures, especially from the Greek period. And you know, they were not women who were considered sex objects in the opera. And Jessie knew where her best roles would lie, and those are the parts that she did most often.
Are those parts like Jessie herself? Do you see her in the parts?
No. I guess maybe because I know Jessie so well. I know Jesse Norman, the person, and I've been at family weddings, danced with her at family weddings. I never saw the dark side of Jesse that some people seem to find. I think people who see that side of her know her only right after a performance. And Jesse becomes so much the character, it takes her a very long time to come out of character, which is one reason she often delays seeing people after a performance. In fact, at the Met, one of the backstage people that I was talking to after one of her performances said, "Jesse is here later than anyone else in the history of the house." But then he said something that made me feel very good. "But we don't care. We love Jesse too." Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to stay late. It's for Jesse. That's a wonderful compliment. The colleagues on stage, the other stars, conductors, sure, she's going to be very nice to them and going to be easy to work with. When the stagehands and the chorus and the backstage people like an artist, that's a little different. And that says more about Jesse than any of the reviews.
You've been listening to the AADL Productions podcast from the Ann Arbor District Library.